If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball 9 to 11, like we do almost every Saturday. Today, reacting to Showtime at Wrigley Field for the Cubs home opener and wondering if the White Sox can regain their momentum in Motown. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning. Always great talking to the busiest man in Chicago sports, David Haw, my partner on Saturdays inside the clubhouse. And just take me through your day yesterday to start the show. Come on. I mean, you were everywhere. Give me the itinerary of how your day started with a bowl of the breakfast of champions.
People are still more curious about Shota's day and how long it lasted. We'll get to that, but I'll indulge you. Yeah, 5:30 to 10 mornings on with Mullen Haw. I was here at the Score, head to Wrigley Field after the show, went to Sluggers, saw some people. We had the Score broadcast there, saw you in the dugout, shook hands with Jed Hoyer, talked to some people. You know how it works. Stay for a little bit of the game. I had to get to CHSN. We had the Chicago lead. And then, boom, we're done. And I watched the Blackhawks avoid history by not giving up a hat trick to Ovechkin. That's how I spent my night, Bruce.
Okay. And your wife, how did she spend the day?
You know, the days are long, but it's fun. And yesterday was one of those days. We had all four Chicago sports teams that were active in play. And so you had the Cubs and Sox. Cubs won, Sox lost 7-4 in Detroit, and you had the Blackhawks losing and the Bulls winning. So, yeah, it's one of those days you feel fortunate to do what we do, Bruce. And I think we also, after that Cub victory at Wrigley Field over the Padres, the once-beaten Padres now, you get the sense that this Cub team is the best Cub team that Jed Hoyer has put together.
Wow, you hesitated there. I thought you were going to say the best Cub team since the 2016 World Champion Chicago Cubs. I was hoping you were going there.
Remains to be seen. The 2017 team was very good, and the 2020 team made the playoffs. I know it was an abbreviated season, but I do think this team has that kind of potential. This team has a complete roster. The bullpen is shaky right now. Ryan Pressly got his third save, but let's be honest. Does anybody really feel good about that third save? You wonder where this is headed in terms of the rotation, but offensively, they run the bases well, they hit for slug, and they have a long, deep lineup.
So, David, do the Chicago Cubs have the it factor after, like you said, this sample size of the season? Is there that quality of being able to win games in many different ways, to preserve games in many different ways, even with the high wire act, the great Wanda act that Presley has shown three saves in three appearances?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know that we can answer that yet. It's fun to see it unfold. They're now 6-2 on American soil. I heard Jamison Tyone tell Zach in the pregame show that the Japanese experience was a good one, but it, record-wise, it was an anomaly because you were over there. It was early. It was the Dodgers. There were a lot of reasons why. But since coming back and readjusting, they're 6-2, and that's a very good start to what could be a very special season.
Can we petition the Supreme Court to eliminate those first two games because they weren't on American soil?
They might be a little busy lately, Bruce. Maybe that's not such a
good idea. It falls in that area, doesn't it? You don't want to go in that direction?
Let's go with Rob Manfred. Maybe start with Manfred. See what he's up to these days. He's got nothing else going on.
Okay. All right. I don't want to scare you this early.
No, that's too late for that, Bruce. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. Calls and texts and your opinions are welcome. We've got a big show for you lined up. Michael Bush, the Cubs first baseman, scheduled to join us at 9:30 because the Cubs play again today against the Padres in the second game of that weekend series. And at 10 o'clock, the great Steve Stone will join us, 10:30, Chin Music, because we heard some things that we'd like to respond to. But first of all, I think, Bruce, let's start with where we have begun to go. The Cubs this season, how good can they be? How good are they now? I think it was very interesting to hear Jed Hoyer pregame Friday talk about whether or not this team is better than the one from 2024.
Certainly a better team than we were last year. I think both in paper and reality, I think we're a better team. And obviously now it's about going out there and playing. I mean, I think that the off season's for talking about the team on paper and the season's for going out and doing it. So now we have to go out and do it. But, certainly we're a better team. And, Craig had a lot of input on the team over the course of the winter, which is wonderful. And like I said, just excited to get going.
He should be excited, Bruce. I think this team is better in a couple different areas, but what did you think about what Jed said?
Well, I you can't think about how good this team is without thinking about Hoyer's career with the Cubs for 14 years, taking over in 21 for Theo Epstein, and having to eliminate the World Championship roster, trying to rebuild with a minor league system. So, eventually it came back around to not only this version, you can't talk about this year's version without talking about Hoyer's future. And he doubled down again when Paul Sullivan of the Tribune asked him about, whether or not, he was feeling, a little bit sheepish about this year and that it possibly could be his last. And he has not backed away from that conversation. He has not pushed back on other topics like, contracts, and we'll get to the Tucker contract of the future, hopefully with the Cubs. He has pushed back, but about himself and his own contract, whether he's going to sit down with, the owner or not, and whether they're going to have conversations, he hasn't shied away from saying, if he does, he won't talk about it, but he's not afraid to talk to the media about the fact that he's got to show up. He's got to do well, like this team this year. It's got to, the success of this team will determine the future of Jed Hoyer.
I love the fact that Sully asked him that near the end of the session, and I understand it was one of those things you can't ignore because it's the elephant in every room. And the way Jed answered it was interesting. So let's listen to the way that Jed answered the question from Paul Sullivan about his future.
Would you like to have some talks with Tom before the season gets underway?
If we ever end up talking, I'll just keep that internal, just like Kyle Tucker extensions.
I said, what would you like to? I didn't say.
Yeah, listen, I've been here for 14 years. And I love this place. My family loves this place. And so certainly, even driving in the ballpark today, it's like it doesn't get better than home opener or Wrigley. I don't think you can say that everywhere, and I don't take that for granted.
I don't think he takes anything for granted, Bruce. I wonder how that reality, the only thing that matters is how that reality affects the urgency with which he approaches his job. And I think that everyone understands that the Cubs are going to be in contention near the deadline. Jed is going to take that aggressive approach and fill in any gaps that might exist.
You know, the thing that stands out the most is that he came here as a young father of one, and they've extended their family. His kids have grown up here, okay? I don't think you can, you know, even though Jed's from out east, the reality is he's a Chicagoan, okay? His kids are Chicagoans. That's all they think. They don't think Boston. They don't think San Diego, other places that he's been. It's about Chicago. So there is a lot more meaning to it than would necessarily meet the eye, David. He wants to stay here. He wants to continue to do this job for many, many reasons, including his family's.
It will take care of itself. Do you think that is oversimplifying it? Because look, if the Cubs are in contention, if the Cubs win the division and get to the playoffs, more than likely, Jed Hoyer is going to be invited to return and extended. And the security, the continuity will be something that Tom Ricketts and the Ricketts family embraces as far as the Cubs are concerned. If he doesn't, then I think Jed might be the first to tell you. Honestly, it's the way it works in professional sports. If the Cubs can't get to the playoffs with a team that we are identifying early on the best that he's ever put together, then it's not good enough. So he'll move on. And I think that's an either or that's fairly simple to understand.
David, I'll offer you this. So many executives and so many teams are not planning past December of 2026 when the new CBA starts. What if Tom offers them a 2-year extension just up until through the beginning of the 2027 season, when most industry experts are predicting that there'll be a lockout and the season could be missed?
Well, then it's a reprieve. It's a reprieve.
Do you take it if you're Hoyer? Do you take it?
Yes, because I think you're in a position now where you just identified him correctly as somebody who considers Chicago his home. And if you have an opportunity at the end of a very pivotal season in your career to stay in your home and do the job that you love to do and you're compensated well, absolutely, you take the 2-year extension and you make the best of whatever's left of your deal. So I think that is a possibility. I don't think it's a likelihood, but we're very early into this season, but I do think, yes, I would take that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the whole thing is really interesting because it's out in the public.
Yep.
and Hoyer, being the man that he is standing up to it every time he's asked. He's never said, you know, let's talk about it some other time or anything like that. He's been open to talking about it every single time it's brought up. And I think it's an interesting strategy at his point to just, you know, be honest and open with the media and therefore with the public about where he stands and how the job means a lot to him, and he wants to stay. It's good.
312 says, I think Hoyer is gone if the Cubs don't win their division. 708, Jed should never have made it to this year. So I think that there's a variety of opinions. There's going to be, you know, when Jed Hoyer has been here 14 years, he's going to have his detractors, he's going to have his supporters, right. and that's the way it works in passionate sports cities. I think that he has every right to keep his job, provided the Cubs get to the playoffs, but I appreciate and understand the urgency that he faces this year.
So, David, it's really two different jobs that he's had. It's two different experiences. So this is Hoyer 2.0, right? It is since 2021 with the different job of leading the Cubs after Epstein left and the charge by Tom and his family to build a farm system that wasn't built to the extent that he wanted it to be with the Epstein-Hoyer group. So it was a different dynamic that was presented to him before he was offered and took the job.
Yes, and he did a nice job of replenishing the farm system with prospects that he can use either A, to come up and help a team get back to the playoffs, as it is the case with Matt Shaw, Pete Crow Armstrong, and others along the way.
Tucker.
Tucker, you're right. Tucker was acquired with with capital that was draft capital and Cam Smith. But yeah, that's a good example too. I was going to point out Ben Brown, because Ben Brown was another guy that was brought here and now is part of the major league team. Nonetheless, I think that your point is well taken. Bruce, I want to get to, before we get to the phone calls, what Craig Counsell had to say about the same question, because Craig Counsell is basically setting the standard here. Jed Hoyer is the boss. Craig Counsell is the one that told us that, well, 90 wins is where you need to be on a consistent basis. And Craig Counsell is the one who answered your question as far as, is this team better than the one from 2024?
Every year is a different season. No matter if it's the same team together or not, it's a different season. We're all in a little bit different place. And so we've had more experiences together, no question about it. And I think, you feel that the nature of the trip that we took, halfway across the world makes you feel that. So it's identifying team energy is we all spend a lot of time doing that. I think we're trying to have shared experiences and create bonds and create connections all across the room. I think that's what you try to do as a unit and as a group. And we'll continue to try to do that. And because of the trip, we're a little farther along.
Bruce, what did you think about his answer to your question?
Well, it didn't answer my question, but he because he hesitated to begin with, because he is so respectful of people in the game and his team from last year and the guys that aren't there. Remember, there's 15 new players on this team than there were April of 2024. So that, he would be talking about 15 other people that aren't here anymore if he said, yeah, we have a better group on paper. He wasn't gonna go down that route, because he always believes that the proof is in the pudding and the question will be answered through the 162 games. But, he did try to answer it in the way of saying, we've bonded together, we have a good group, without the hype that a manager wants to keep down, at the beginning of a year.
I want to talk to you about the confidence that you may or may not have in Ryan Pressly after his third shaky save. But let's get out to the phone lines first. 312-644-6767. Paul is in Valparaiso. Good morning, Paul. Welcome inside the clubhouse. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. You got me?
Yep, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just state the obvious here, but we've been talking about it the last 2 years, or maybe longer than that. But you talked about the lineup being long, and obviously the defense and the base running being, key components to a good start. But Tucker's the total difference, I mean, it makes the line so much different. It takes the pressure off Suzuki. There's some subtle things there, too. Again, Suzuki, I think, is free to swing. And, he's not the number one guy, and you're not leaning on him to do all the heavy lifting. Even bringing guys in like Turner, who have so much experience, I think help. But Tucker really is the main thing. And I guess from now on, especially if they have a successful year, it's going to be either an extension, which I don't think will happen, or are they actually going to be able to re-sign him, or is this going to be a one-year wonder? Because he is really a great player.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. Bruce, your response.
They brought in guys that are not surprised when they win. Okay. These are guys that have won world championships elsewhere, right? They expect to win. Their play and their abilities personify that when they go out there on the field, right? So Turner's not the same player that he was 3 or 4 years ago, but he still knows how to win. He is a hybrid right now. If you look at him and the way he was used yesterday, when he came in the middle of the game, the pinch hit, and it eventually, that pinch hit ended up, that ground ball to short ended up with the game-winning run coming across the plate because of great running play by Suzuki as well. But these guys expect to win, expect to do well. There's a difference in some of those type of players. In Tucker, you have obviously one of the top 5 or 6 players in the game of baseball. Right, that's playing there for you. You got a star. That's how Hoyer reacted to another one of my questions about having a star player. He is you know, the first star they've had since 2021. Maybe Bellinger was that for 3 months in 2023.
Yeah, 2023, Bellinger was, he three played at a star caliber for part of the season. You're right.
Right, but yeah. But having a star player.
It's a fair point. It's a good point.
I mean, it's first time. And don't you think the players feel that as well?
No doubt about it. It's an air of confidence. It's a belief that somebody will be there day in and day out to pick up the slack and make everybody better by the way that they have to pitch either around Kyle Tucker or what he does when they pitch right at him. So he's a difference maker, no question. Bruce, in any of the conversations you had or heard, whether Crane Kenny making the rounds on opening day at Wrigley Field or Jed Hoyer or Craig Counsell about the likelihood or possibility that Kyle Tucker is going to be here for more than just 1 year, that he's not just a rental. What do you think? And because I know it comes up. I get asked about it a lot. I'm sure you do as well.
You know, the atmosphere out there, like in Toronto, we're going to hear this week, I think, that Guerrero Jr. is going to sign a $500 million plus contract. You've seen extensions to young players all around the place. So Marte with Arizona as well. So is that the theme right now? Are players and agents reacting to the reality of what they feel is going to happen in 2027? And are the teams willing to get these deals done before something like that happens? Are the Cubs going to be in that same boat with Tucker? Tucker expressed from the time he walked in here as a Cub player that he is open to his agent, Casey Close, talking to the Cubs about an extension. Why not? Why not get it done now? Why wait until maybe there isn't an open market for baseball in 2027 and beyond, and that there is a salary cap limiting the amount of money that a team can spend? This would probably be an ideal time for a player as well.
It's a great thought. It's an open it's open season, and certainly great debate. I think Kyle Tucker might be hoping to hit the open market because of what he would command, but at the same time, we don't know the effect of Wrigley Field and what it might have on his, you know, interest in staying in a Cubs uniform. Bruce, before we get to break, Ryan Pressly, the other Astro they got in this offseason, he got his third save on Friday. Wasn't that clean. He was shaky at times. There seemed to be some communication near the end of the game that was a source of some conversation between him and his catcher, Amaya. I wonder, what did you think about the shaky third save from Ryan Pressly, and how much confidence should the Cubs have in him moving forward?
I loved it. Honestly, I loved it, because even though he bends, he doesn't break. And then people will start hitting the text line with, okay, we heard the same stuff with Neris last year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, how he manned up, even though he's given hits and walks and walking the tightrope. This guy doesn't throw strikes unless he has to. And he pitched backwards to get out of that jam by throwing a fastball right down the middle of the plate, you know, at like 92 and a half. to strike out a really good hitter in a game situation in the ninth inning, that takes an awful lot of experience and an awful lot of belief in yourself. So the numbers aren't pretty. He's 3-for-3 in saves. He's got a 5.40 ERA. You know, tell me the last time you remembered an ERA for a closer, and I'll send you a prize.
Well, I have to check what Craig Kimbrel's was, because I got some Craig Kimbrel vibes watching Ryan Pressly again. I wonder, moving forward, and I wonder if this is a viable question. Porter Hodge looked pretty good. Porter Hodge looked very effective, and I think Ryan Pressly looked a little shaky. Could there be a possibility of them reversing roles, switching spots, eighth inning, ninth inning guys, because we know Pressly did that last year for Josh Hader?
I asked all spring, David, you know, and they said, hey, it'll take care of itself. We got a guy that's done it for his whole career, right? We have a young guy that did it last year at the end of the season. We're fortunate we have good guys at the end of the game. By the way, Julian Merriweather is leading the league in dry outings, okay?
he was warmed up again? Oh, my gosh.
He was warmed up again.
Is he available today?
They had two guys up in the ninth with two outs, okay? There were two guys in the bullpen if Pressly wasn't getting out of this jam. And Merriweather again was one of them who, again, is going to go to the All-Star game for dry outings.
It's not good to lead the league in warm-up pitches. That's not a category you want to be out in front of. But
nonetheless, you're not the only one that was nervous because, you know, Mr. Council had the two guys warming up ready to go. Again, this guy was at 31, 32 pitches, I think, by the time he got out of this gym. He's had at least two, maybe three 30-plus pitching outings in his saves so far.
All right, time to take our first break. Let's set up the rest of the show. We're going to talk with Michael Busch, the Cubs' first baseman, hopefully when we get back. Steve Stone is going to talk to us from Detroit at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, Chin Music at 10:30. It's Bruce Levine, it's David Haw. We're talking baseball inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Now the pitch on the way to Busch. Driven in the air, right center field. It'll drive in the run. This ball's back toward the wall and gone! Over the wall and right center. It's only, as I told you, about 7 feet high in that area of the park. And that line drive just kept carrying. It's a two-run homer from Michael Busch.
Well, Michael, I mean, he got good approach. He can go, I mean, you know, left, right center. So he's good. Only he need to, you know, stay back a little bit and keep continue hit the ball to the middle, because when you do that, you lock it in yourself. And you don't have no chance to, you know, to move your shoulder. So you got to stay there, keep your head right there, and everything's going to work out perfectly.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking baseball till 11 o'clock. That was Pat Hughes calling Michael Busch's home run. And then Sammy Sosa talking about Michael Busch's approach to hitting during spring training. And Michael Busch joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate your time. Bruce and I do. And just let's start with how much of an odyssey these last couple weeks have felt like, because you went from Japan back to Arizona. You opened for the Diamondbacks. It's time in Sacramento, time well spent, I should say, for your offense. And then you come back to Wrigley Field, the opener on Friday, a great day, showed it, Imanaga delivered. How would you describe the last couple weeks?
I guess to simply put it, it felt like we've been on the road ever since we left Tokyo, and then even go back to Arizona, you know, on the road, playing in Arizona. Then we went to Sacramento. It felt like we were on the road, but it's been good. I mean, you know, we kind of finally got to play some real games, and, you know, just exciting to get to Tokyo and then to be able to open up in Arizona and go to Sacramento and kind of experience that. But yeah, lately we've been playing some good ball, so that's probably the most exciting part.
Michael, your second full season with the Chicago Cubs, and what me and other media people learned about you last year was you like to talk about the team. You don't love talking about yourself. Where did you learn that part of just being a part of a team and not being about all you, and then eventually having to get used to talking about yourself a little bit because, you know, people like myself come up to you every day and want to know about how you're doing, how your stats are, how you're feeling about your game itself.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I think that's, to me, it's a compliment. Although I think, you know, I do like to talk about the team because at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about how can I help the team win? How can anybody help the team win? But at the same time, I realize that, you know, I am an individual, and there are individual stats and gameplay and all that. So I'm just kind of getting used to, having conversations about myself. This has been good. But where it stems from, I don't know, growing up, my family, just kind of trying to keep me humble, my faith, trying to get everything about others and, looking inward when happens for me quite often. So I think looking outward is often good for me as well.
Michael, you hear often when people talk about the Cubs and baseball in general, how one player can lengthen a lineup. That's usually the term that's applied. And I wonder, when you look at Kyle Tucker and the start that he's off to, and you hit behind Seiya Suzuki, and those two guys especially have started out hot. You've taken advantage of that by having your own moments in the first couple weeks of the season. But how would you describe how the presence of somebody like Kyle Tucker can make everybody in that lineup just a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you're starting to see it a little bit. I think just, I don't know how much it affects. I don't think there's a really, you know, something that you can turn to and be like, oh, it affects it this much. But just the way he goes about his at-bats, just the way, you know, every at-bat he's locked in. And you can see that from the moment he steps into the box, from if we're up seven, if we're, you know, tie game, if whatever the score is, he's always giving you a good at-bat. And I think just little things like that can be so contagious throughout a lineup. I mean, look at the Sacramento series. We had quite a few guys locked in. And when Kyle Tucker's locked in, it's pretty special. But you just look at the quality of at-bats, even when we were up by, 12, 13, whatever it was, guys were still having amazing at-bats. I think, there's little things throughout their lineup that can be contagious. I just think, the more times that we can do that throughout a series, throughout a game, throughout an inning, I think we're giving ourselves a good shot.
Michael, the difficult part of being a team player is being selfless. And we talked about it in the last question I asked you. But, the situation comes up in the fifth inning where Council decides to pinch hit for you with Turner. And the game turns there. He gets a hit. There's that hustle play by Suzuki that is so much the part of this early Cub team showing, this great attention to detail that you guys had from spring training on and how it's coming up with wins. But the competitor inside of you being pinch hit for in the fifth inning, how much do you have to fight that to go along with the fact that, yes, It worked out for the team. It's a team game. You won the game. But the Michael Bush that wants to be in that game for nine innings.
Yeah, of course. I think anybody, you know, on a roster, in the lineup, outside of the lineup, I think everybody, you know, they want to play. They always want to play. They always want to help the team win. They always want to, like, showcase what their abilities and their performance, all that stuff. But at the same time, kind of understanding and going into a game, understanding that, you know, get outside of myself and what I want or what I, you know, think I can do, but just how can I help the team? And if that means Justin's coming in for me against a lefty or whatever, and, you know, coming up in a spot like that, then, you know, I'm okay with that. I have to be. It's just, you know, it's the job that I signed up for. But also just continuing to work, because, you know, you don't know throughout the course of a season, you know, facing lefties or coming up in spots against lefties, or, like, you know, things happen just to where it doesn't always shape out to what you may think it is. Just always staying ready, but also understanding that, you know, walking into a game, you're right, putting yourself on the back burner and putting the team, you know, on the front side is always been important. I think it helps for sure.
I always wonder how that goes with the manager and a player, because Craig Counsell is known as an effective communicator and somebody who is very direct without having to really be – he's transparent, I would think, with players. So you're the cleanup hitter for the Chicago Cubs. You're there for a reason. When he pinch hits for you in the fifth inning, does he say anything afterward? Does he approach you beforehand? Or is it just a quiet understanding that this is part of the role, it's part of winning, and this is what we're going to do?
I think that's, you know, more so just communicated throughout, you know, either – kind of spring training, but also, like, it's hard to communicate some of that stuff just because you don't know. Nobody knows. Not even, you know, skipper or players. Like, nobody knows what's going to happen throughout a game, throughout a season. So the communication part is tough, but it's just, like, you kind of just understand if it does happen, there's a reason for it. And, yeah, I think that's, like, the biggest thing. You know, it's one of those things with baseball that has kind of, you know, become a thing over the past few years.
Michael, you guys won a game with pitching and base running and defense yesterday. All the things that are talked about and worked on ad nauseum in spring training. Potentially, and I'm including you now, you guys could possibly have 6 or 7 Gold Glove candidates this year. Talk a little bit about the work that you put in, especially with Mota, and I watch you in pre-games last year an awful lot, and I'm sure it's the same going to be the same this year, on your knees, taking little bounces to try to get your hands right, to make yourself into one of the better first basemen in the National League after starting there and, you know, really having a long way to go. I mean, I thought your trek last year defensively was amazing to watch. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, they've been, it's been good. It's been, I think, I'm in it every day, obviously. So the transition, the change is slow, but it also, I always felt like I could do it at a high level. From the day that I started, you know, taking ground balls, had a little bit of experience in college, I felt like I could do it. And that was kind of always my goal. And just those little things, like you're talking about the hands stuff on my knees, like it's little things like that even sometimes I, you know, oh, do I need to do that today? And it's like, yeah, I do. Just because you see so many guys who do it and there's a reason for it. It's almost like it's just muscle memory and you're getting yourself to do those things. You know, then you enter a game and things happen so fast and all of a sudden your body just does it. And it helps you. It really does. So, like, those little things that, you know, you watch a lot of guys do, you keep doing it and you just stay consistent with it. It really does help. And it really does help you to clean up those little things when it comes to picking balls, ground balls, footwork, all that kind of stuff.
Do you own a torpedo bat? And if you do, would the improvements that we're seeing with some guys using it, are those because of the physics or because of the psychology that's involved in maybe having more confidence at the plate?
You know what? I do have one, or I've swung one, actually. not currently swimming one, but yeah, I think there's been a lot of stuff on it, you know, now about what it's doing for players. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the biggest part is just the player itself. I think mechanics, I think hand eye, I think players, I think that's going to, you know, outlast some bat, you know, making them a much better hitter. But there's, I bet there's, you know, there's a reason they're there. So there's a reason, you know, that they're, I don't even know kind of really what's going on, but, you know, kind of a reason it's helping players maybe do a little better.
Michael, my last one for you is about your relationship with the coaches and managers and how essential that is, that communication, understanding Council just a little bit more in the second year, him understanding who you guys are as well. How far has that gone from spring training on? Is there definitely a feel good about him and the coaches for you guys?
Yeah, I think any time you can just, you know, have another year under your belt, you know, developing relationships, learning about somebody. He's learning about a lot of players. We're learning about him, like hitting coaches. You know, you get another year with the hitting coaches. Then you get a couple of new guys in, like Q and Javi, you know, a little bit newer, but, you know, very good with relationships, communication, all that stuff. So, you know, that I think that transition for them just has been smooth and easy. And, you know, everybody is kind of listening, and everybody wants to, just because, you know, they came from somewhere where they, you know, did things right the right way.
Michael, thanks so much for your time. I hope you have a good series and a great season, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Michael Busch, the Cubs' first baseman and cleanup hitter, all-around good guy, Bruce. I think he's a guy who you see why the Cubs came into the season very confident that he can do his job. And the questions about Justin Turner pitch hitting for him in the fifth inning, that was a very good one by you, because I think a lot of people had the same reaction.
It's just, you know, it's showing the ice water that runs through Council's veins, right? The reality of, hey, this at bat here might make the difference in this game, okay? And I can't worry about people's feelings. I can only worry about my gut telling me right now we have this player in Turner that's perfect for this circumstance.
I have a response to that. It worked out this time. I have a response to that next time. And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, man, what an atmosphere, a ton of energy. I was joking around before the game, you know, opening day here should be a holiday. And, you know, it doesn't look like too many people are at work, so it might as well have been.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That was Justin Turner reacting to Marquee Sports Network about his first day as a Cub at Wrigley Field. Pretty cool. And he got an opportunity in the fifth inning to bat for Michael Busch. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock, talking Cubs, talking Sox. We'll get to Steve Stone at 10 o'clock. Bruce, I was surprised. You asked a question, and I maintain this. If Michael Busch is your cleanup hitter, then should he be pinch hit for in the fifth inning? And if he should be pinch hit for in the fifth inning, why is he your cleanup hitter? Either or, I think. One or the other. I just don't know if you're going to go the entire
correction.
Season.
That was from our post game, by the way, with on the score.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got bad info.
It's okay. You know, it was a great question posed by
you.
Oh, that's right. That's
you.
Right. The answer is what made it, obviously. But the reality of, you know, your question here being, you know, can you be a team player and still be upset about the fact that the manager took you out in the fifth inning and you're the cleanup hitter? Was a really good one that you posed as a follow-up. I mean, that's, you know, ego-wise, how do you really get around it? Even though it works out, the team wins, you're still sitting for half the game as the game evolves, and walking off the field, you're not a part of that. You're back on the bench or back up in the clubhouse.
it worked. So I suppose the end justifies the means, and it's the second time this season it's happened. Right. I just think that Michael Bush as a left-handed hitter against lefties is something you're going to have to, at some point in time, live with. He had a better batting average. I know that everything is batting average, but in 100 plate appearances last year against lefties, he hit .258, hit .246 against righties. More slug from against righties, certainly. But I just wonder, as good as Justin Turner is, as clutch as we know that he can be, Michael Bush at some point in time is going to be the guy you want up there against lefties, righties. You want in there to come through with a clutch hit.
Yeah, it's like right in the middle of one of your great conversations with Molly Monday through Friday from, 5:30 until 10. They bring Layla in to talk to Molly about some subject, and they say, hey, you know what, David, you sit out the rest of the show,
Right.
We're good. It's not that much different, obviously.
What are you hearing, Bruce? What are you hearing?
It's not a great analogy, but it's real, the fact that you have to put your ego to the side and say, okay, the manager knows best. I'm not in the game. We won the game. That's what this is all about.
Fair enough.
But it's hard. It's got to be difficult, really, because this young man has worked extremely hard to get to where he's at. He had to prove himself, coming out of the Dodger organization where there was no spot for him at age 26 going on 27, that he was a big league player. And he, in one of what it appears to be Hoyer's best trades, he's got himself a first baseman, and he's under contract for another 4 years.
312 says the Cubs don't have a cleanup hitter. Council regularly platooned Bush with Patrick Wisdom last year. Bush is not Juan Soto. He's a nice player. Okay, he's a nice player. Batting fourth behind Tucker and Suzuki, he's in an ideal spot in that lineup to have a very big season. I think that they should let him.
So he's saying that Bregman should be hitting there, is that right?
Hey, Bregman's not off to a great start in Boston, is he?
No, he's not.
No, he's not off to a great start. Can we compare Bregman to Cam Smith this year instead of Cam Smith to Kyle Tucker or Matt Shaw?
Yeah, all those comparisons after 7 or 8 games, Let's maybe wait till May or June.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Right. I know it's not football season. I know it's not the Bears. I know, Bruce. We don't need to react or overreact too much to one small sample size. But it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be fun catching up with our good friend Stoney next as well.
Yes, Steve Stone from Detroit. The Sox back in action today. They'll be pitching and playing at 12:10 Davis Martin on the mound for them, trying to come back from that 7-4 loss on Friday to the Tigers. We'll do it next here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.